right. And broadcasting live from Studio C of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, you are on Thin Ice with Nat Marlowe in the studio for the first time ever. I'm joined by my good friend Tyler Barzak. What's up, man?
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. Sure, glad I could show up.
Sure thing, man. We usually have you on the phone, so it's weird seeing you in the studio for once.
Change of pace.
What? Tyler's in person.
The incarnate.
Yep. And on the phone via Skype, we got Mike Lewis. What's up, man?
Going on, boys?
How you doing, man?
The tables have turned. Mike, you started off in the studio. Now you're on the phone. So we got to get both you guys in the studio at one point.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there next time. I got to get my ass back there.
So. Yeah. This is also a historic show for us. Well, as historic as we've been so far, because for the first time ever, instead of broadcasting live on Twitch, we are now broadcasting live on Facebook. So to all of you watching on Facebook, hello and welcome to our hockey show.
So, yes, and if there's anybody tuning in, coming inside from that heat, cool down and watch us.
Yep.
That's a terrible plug, I'm sorry.
A terrible plug. Wait, for, I mean, we can, I'm not even going to go there, man. I'm not even going to go there. Ooh, and you can also be a part of our show now that we have our phone line open. So if you want to be part of our show and talk about whatever you want to talk about, hockey related or anything Philly sports related, we can all talk Philly sports quite a bit. The number you want to call is 856-330-4749. That's 856-330-4749. So speaking of Philly sports, ladies and gentlemen, we got ourselves a goalie signing here in Philadelphia. He signed to a one-year deal. I think he signed his contract is worth $1 million or $2 million, but it's only a year. And I can handle Brian Elliott for a year as long as he's the backup.
I think for me that was kind of what, you know, the 1 year, it's cool. You know, I don't have too much of a, you know, a beef with that. Anything more than that, I think would have been, you know, I'd have been like let's
overkill. Yeah,
34 years old. You know, you don't want to do anything too long term. You know, because that you're at that age now where, you know, 34 years old, you can, you know, you can have a few more good years or you can totally, you know, just tank. And I don't think the Flyers need any more tanking goalies at this point.
Right. He's just past his prime. He's a great backup. His numbers were pretty solid this year. Yeah. But outside of Carter Hart, his numbers were better than every other goalie they use. So if we're going to sign any backup, Brian Elliott's a decent enough backup. So
yeah, and
he's 34.
Yeah, like that's not starter age anymore. I mean, like, yeah, he made it to the Western Conference Finals 3 years ago, but that was 3 years ago. That's not 2019, so
yeah,
he's 209 pounds. Holy smokes.
Yeah, goalies are heavy, man. Speaking of big time goaltenders, we have a goalie retirement. Bobby Lou, Roberto Luongo, finally hung up his skates.
I think
yes, he did.
You know, it was
hell
it was
of a career.
Time for him. You know, he had a good career, and I think, you know, ending it with, you know, down south. He's probably gonna stay down south for a little bit. You know. Actually get to enjoy it a little bit, but
retire to a South Florida beach home.
Yeah.
As he should. I mean, the dude's been in the league for 19 years. The dude was a workhorse. He was one game away from winning the Stanley Cup, and Boston Bruins happened in 2011. So
you'll never probably hear a bad word about him because he's just done everything he's been asked for. So that's all you can ask.
That and he's a pioneer for NHL social media. If it wasn't for some of his tweets, the players might not be as active on social media as they are. So he's a huge pioneer for that.
And I think, you know, with the NHL being, you know, ranked number four in, you know, the four major sports, you know, in America, you know, with popularity goes, you know, any exposure, you know, people say, you know, obviously positive exposure is the best, but honestly, any exposure, you know, getting people talking, whether it be positively, you know, stirring the pot up negatively, you know, any exposure when, you know, you're fourth in line, you know, and I think in the next few years, it's hard to tell, but it's definitely growing popularity in the United States. And I think, you know, he was a big pioneer in that, like you said.
Mm-hmm. And hockey is a team first mentality. I think every other sport has more, well, I wouldn't say in general, but more so than hockey, they have a superstar mentality. Now in hockey, they finally have that, you know, most teams these days have a superstar. There's always one or two guys on every team you got to watch out for. And same thing on social media. You got to watch out for everyone on social media now. So,
yeah, social media is a good thing, but at the same time, it can be a cruel monster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Lou, man, what a career he's had. So 19 seasons, fourth overall in 1997. Five-time NHL All-Star, two-times Olympic gold winner, second all-time in games played, third all-time in wins, and ninth all-time in shutouts. crazy numbers that guy has put up. So what a career. I'm so glad I got to watch him play before he retired.
Yeah, hats off to him by far. You know, that's definitely, you know, has accomplished quite a bit in his career. And I think, you know, going forth, and I don't think it's the end of him in the NHL. I think, you know, as a player it is, but I still think that there's going to be a lot to come with him, you know, whether it be coaching, management, you know, player development. I think, you know, when you've established yourself in, you know, at that level and for that long, you know, you don't just, you know, cut cold turkey. I think, you know, you stay around, and you've seen a lot of those guys, you know, Danny Briere, for example, you know, helping with player development.
Riley Cote too.
Exactly. Yeah, down in the AHL. You know, there's a lot, you know, a lot of players we can go on and on. But yeah, I definitely think that, you know, this isn't the end of them.
Yeah, Bobby Lou, living legend. Like I think everybody across the league would do anything to have him around, whether it's NHL front office, whether it's working for the Florida Panthers, maybe working for the Vancouver Canucks.
Absolutely.
The dude is too much of a living legend, and he loves the game too much to not be involved. So this is definitely not the last we're going to see of Bobby Lou. He's not going to spend all of his time down in the South Florida beach home.
Not by a long shot.
But I'm going to take some time to read the statement he put out, because it's a great statement. He says, "There's a lot I want to say. This is one of the toughest decisions I faced in my life. It took me a long time to do it. I've been thinking about it a lot, and I'm just listening to my body. I love the game so much. Since I've had my hip surgery a couple years ago, I've been showing up 2 hours before every practice, 3 hours before every game to work out my hip. Even at night, whether it was the night before the game or even night off, I was rolling it out, doing strength exercises. My entire life revolved around recovery, strengthening, and making sure I was ready to go the next day. I was willing to make that sacrifice because I love the game. I love being part of it, being in the action, and competing with my teammates. I was willing to go through it all for my love of hockey." And then he goes on to say that he wished the season ended differently, although he had a great second half. The first half wasn't up to his standard, and he said he realized he wasn't going to live up to that standard ever again. But it just wasn't there, at least not as much as I wanted it to be. I wanted to be the backstop to give my team a chance to win every night. I wanted to be on top of my game, stealing wins. And overall, he says he just can't do that anymore. So, I mean, who says that this guy isn't the perfect time to retire for him?
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, no one wants to pull the Brett Favre and, you know, overstay their welcome, but, you know, stay past, way past when everyone realizes it's your time, you know, and you've got to, you know, realize that. You know, everyone wants to play. No one wants to give that up, but, at you know, you have to realize, you know, not even just physically, but mentally, emotionally, you know, if you have family and kids, you know, at some point you've got to realize, like, listen, my time is up. And, you know, you don't want to be a burden, and you don't want your career ending, you know, on a negative note, and, you know, with injury, or, you know, it's a bunch of things that can happen. But, you know, you want to go out, you know, head held high, you know, on a good note. And I think this, you know, obviously everyone, you know, the storybook ending is, you know, winning, you know, the Stanley Cup, holding it above your head and being like, yeah, I'm retiring, this is my final. That doesn't always work that way. So I think this is the best possible scenario for him.
Exactly. Plus, he was only one win away.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, he lost, and Vancouver burned to the ground because of it. But they're still, the Canucks are still around.
I believe they're still burning to this
day. Nah, they recovered. Well, the team is still burning this day, but with your new Calder Trophy winner, Elias Pettersson, who knows, maybe he can help rebuild the team. But supposedly Brock Besser wants out. So
there's a lot, you know, and I think, again, like I said, I think everyone was deserving, you know, and you know, the Calder Trophy is definitely, you know, it's a huge accomplishment, you know. You know, being a rookie is just tough in a league like this. And, you know, again, anyone who, you know, is given that award should look at it, you know, and should, you know, take great honor in it, honestly, you know, because it's not, you know, it's the closest thing to the MVP in my mind, because, you know, you were the MVP of all rookies. And, you know,
and he only played 71 games this season.
Exactly, you know, and to go in, you know, to go into this new league, there's a huge jump. And, you know, to be able to, you know, you see a lot of great college players, you see a lot of great, you know, AHL players, but to make that jump and to shine, you know, to perform at that level and be noticed at that, you know, level, you know, again.
Especially for a defenseman.
Exactly, you know, never take that for granted. And again, like you said, defensemen, I think they're overlooked. I think, you know, you look at the superstars, and most superstars are wingers, centers, you know, goalies, stuff like that. You know, you don't look at the defenseman. Just same thing with, you know, football. You don't look at linemen too much. But, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, are doing, you know, the behind-the-scenes kind of work. that goes unnoticed. And I think, you know, he definitely awarding. And, you know,
yeah, you can have your Erik Karlsson, you can have your PK Subban, but now you have your Elias Pettersson's.
Yep.
Like this kid, I can't. Dahlin went number one. This kid, Gretzky is in awe by this kid. There's the new NHL, and then there's Elias Pettersson. He's taking the new NHL to a whole new level when it comes to not only puck-moving defensemen, but high-scoring defensemen. Take a look at this. 22 power play points, 10 of them were goals, and the kid, one out of five shots he takes is going in the back of the net.
Yeah.
The kid is just an absolute stud.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty, you know, impressive
stat. Sounds like it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, again, you know, definitely deserving.
If the Canucks can get Besserbeck, and if they can continue to rebuild the team, especially based around Elias Pettersson, then they're going to be a threat for years to come. Maybe not right away, but in long term, this could be very good for the Canucks. I would do whatever I can to wrap that kid up.
I think, yeah, and I think if they establish themselves and get, you know, a solid foundation and continue in the path that they're going, yeah, those should be good things to come. You know, again, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of teams are faced in this situation, and you know, some make positive moves in the offseason. Some, you know, take that and, you know, form it and, you know, build upon it. Others kind of use it and just, you know, have this great mold of, you know, potential and do nothing with it. So I think if they can make the right moves, you know, have their young guys, you know, be properly trained and, you know, continue on this good path, I think, yeah, they're definitely going to be a threat. Not, you know, not to pass over by any means.
Yeah, and they just got to continue to rebuild because a lot of the tools are there. They just need a couple of extra pieces that they want to make a deep playoff run. At the beginning of the year, they were one of the best teams in the Pacific Division.
Yeah,
and then they just couldn't maintain that. One reason was because Pettersson was out due to injury. So if he played a full 82 games, who knows? Maybe we'll be talking not necessarily Vancouver Canucks Stanley Cup champions. I don't think that's going to happen for a while. But I think we can at least I think we can at least be talking, you know, Vancouver Canucks making it to the wild card, making it to the first round, perhaps making it to the second round, and then building it off of there.
Yeah, no, I think there would have been, you know, further discussion about them, how far, how in depth. You know, hard to say, but definitely I think there would have been a little more discussion.
And all right, before we go any further, guys, I just want to say that we are brought to you by the Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I love these guys so much, and I wouldn't be able to get my foot in the door in the broadcasting industry had it not been for the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. CSB Cherry Hill is perfect for you if you've ever wanted to be an on-air talent or wanted to work behind the scenes in the broadcasting industry. And that goes for both radio and TV. Our graduates get top priority when it comes to the top broadcasting jobs in the Delaware Valley. If you've ever been curious about the industry, schedule a studio tour at CSB today to see if we're a good fit for you. Call 856-330-4701 or visit GoCSB for more information. And now, let's get back to Thin Ice, and we're ready to move on to the NHL Awards. So, our first winner is the Hart Trophy MVP, Nikita Kucherov from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Dude earned himself 41 goals, 87 assists, 128 points total, but his team got swept in the first round of the playoffs. I'm kind of torn between this.
I mean,
so what are you trying to say, Nat? He's not worthy?
I mean, I think that's more of an individual-based, you know, award, I think. And I think for that being said, it didn't really – not that it didn't matter that they got swept, but I think, you know, he himself proved, you know, enough and worthy enough of that award. I wouldn't argue the fact. I think that he's deserving of it.
Well, Kucherov is definitely great, but would he have earned the reward if he hadn't surrounded himself by the likes of Steven Stamkos and hadn't had a red-hot goaltender like Andrei Vasilevskiy?
I mean, that's definitely helps, you know, by far. It helps, you know, have those studs around you. To say would he not accomplish that, that's hard to say, you know, until you're ever put in that situation where, you know, you can actually definitively say. You know, I don't want to, you know, make it, you know, judgment on whether or not he would if he didn't have those people. But it, like I said, it definitely helps to have those, you know, level of athletes and players on your team.
The dude's definitely a machine, but I don't think it's fair to bring the entire playoffs into consideration. I also don't think it's fair to bring to only include the regular season. I think you got to have a mix between the regular season and at least the first couple rounds of the playoffs. And I think had we judged that, things would have been a little bit different, because Kucherov was not the same Kucherov in the postseason that we saw in the regular season.
Honestly, for me, it's a 70-30. You know, 70% what you do in play, what you do in the regular season, and 30.
And I think that would be a great criteria for the NHL judges to use.
Yeah, so I mean, because you can't take one versus the other, and you can't overpower one. You know, someone has a fantastic playoffs. You know, does that really qualify him for, you know, an award that's supposed to be given for, you know, that season, that, you know, 2018-2019? No, it doesn't. You know, that's a span of time that one player did really well. That's not a collective. That's not the whole season. So you have to judge it based off the entire season. But being that the playoffs are a shorter period of time, I think that there needs to be less of a focus on that and more of the whole season. Not a total focus, but a little bit less of one.
Right, and going off of that, I think the same can be said for Mark Giordano, who won the Norris Trophy for best defenseman this year. Giordano, captain of the Calgary Flames, also a stud for them. 17 goals, 57 assists, 74 points, and was a plus 39. That is just absolutely incredible. But although his team didn't get swept, they lost in five games. Well, they got swept if you don't include game one, because they did win that one. Then they lost four straight. I understand there were some factors like, oh, people want to blame Mike Smith, their goaltender, but Mike Smith was actually pretty good. I can't blame him.
Yeah, I wouldn't put fault on him. I think was awarding. You know, anytime you put up, you know, as a defenseman, that many goals, and you know that's pretty, you know, impressive. You know, you're taking shots farther back. You know, you have multiple responsibilities, multiple roles. You have other things you need to focus on, and to be able to contribute, you know, offensively in that capacity, I think, you know, definitely is award winning.
What do you think about Vasilevsky winning the Vezina?
You know, it's hard to say. I think there was a lot of good candidates for it. I do think that, you know, yes, he's deserving, you know, by far. And, I have no complaints.
But even compared to Ben Bishop and, like, Robin Leonard, I get, because his team was more of a defensive-style game and he carried them. But Ben Bishop, like...
So, again, it's a hard call. And, again, there's always going to be, you know, when it's that close, there's going to be people who agree with it. There's going to be people who say, oh, it should have been this person. It should have been Ben Bishop. Vasilevsky, I think... In my opinion, I think the reason he won was because of how well the team did as well. And I think that was a big contributor to it. Now, is that, you know, should you base, again, you know, the Vezina Trophy off of how well the team does? No, because that's not what it's based off of. However, when your team does that well, you know, in a lot of games, they look towards the goalie. They say, how well did the goalie do? You know, it falls back on the goalie. And because the team did so well in so many games, and I think, you know, won 18 of his final 21 starts. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Either way, earned himself six shutouts.
Yeah, exactly.
0.925 save percentage.
So, I mean, again, I have no disputes.
I think he's a year late with winning the Vezina. I think he should have won it last year. Pecorine, I don't think he earned it last year, but I do think Vasilevsky earned it last year. So who knows? Maybe it's going to be a year late award at this point. Maybe Robin Leonard or Ben Bishop's going to win the Vezina next year. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, time will tell.
Yeah, very deserving one way or the other about it. Although it did come a year too late, I did think he won it in the wrong year, but at least he won it eventually. So
yeah,
who knows? And hopefully Leonard and Bishop will win it next year, if they have equally stellar seasons next year as they did this year. So anyway, it is 4:35 now, so we got to move on to our next segment. Mike, you're up, man. What you got for Hot Takes with Mike?
It's Hot Takes with Mike.
Are you fucking kidding me?
How the fuck does that happen? He's fucking terrible on the ice. God damn it.
Yeah, so the Phillies, they've actually won two games in a row. They've done the impossible.
About time, man.
And so everybody's, well, I shouldn't say everybody, the whole team at least, and most of the city's starting to catch on to it, is that they're thanking the bamboo plant Brad Miller has brought in the last 2 days. And not only was he going to place them all by his lockers, but he said, F that, I'm going to buy a whole big thing and put it on the clubhouse table, and apparently it's worked.
It worked. We're 2-0 in the bamboo era.
Yeah, baby. Buy it, baby. You go find those... You go find those pandas, you steal that bamboo, you bring it to the clubhouse. Let's go.
You're going to have PETA showing up at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, they're gonna have a bamboo night.
You're gonna have Peter show up to free the Philly fanatic because he supposedly doesn't want to be there. Supposedly he's enslaved by the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, they're gonna make him. They're gonna make him eat bamboo as one of his acts coming up. I heard. So. There you go. So, two in a row, baby. Get on the bamboo train. Two in a row. Hashtag 2-0 bamboo, baby.
What if they go
2-0
on a
bamboo?
What if they go on a 10-game losing streak during the bamboo era? Will the bamboo era be a failure then?
Don't say that. Nah, it's not gonna happen. Don't talk to me in that tone of voice, young man. Do you hear me?
I do. I was hoping for more of a take than that, Mike.
I got nothing, man.
We can go.
There's nothing to do. I can't complain right now.
You got all the anger and F-bombs out of you during the last show.
Oh, well, you should have heard me before the show, but you know. That's
I did, because the bullpen was a disaster. Well, then again, it's always been a disaster, so that's not saying anything new. But everything else was going down
healthy.
The tubes. And
there's nothing. That's what I mean. There's nothing to rant about. The bullpen's getting healthy. Granted, they've stunk when they were healthy, but you know, let's see what happens. They got their best reliever, Adam Morgan, back. Was a little iffy with his command the last two nights, but he looked sharp, so they'll be all right.
What do you think of Coconut Oil Boy getting ejected?
Coconut, I couldn't believe my eyes.
There was
I was curious. I wish there was like a bad lip reading for baseball because I want to see if he was cursing at all.
There is. There's a lip reading of it. It's not a bad lip reading, but there is indeed a lip reading of it. Supposedly he called the check swing atrocious.
Story.
What's
I
up?
I have a developing story, actually. Speaking of Coconut Oil Boy.
Okay.
He got fined for kicking dirt at the ump Saturday.
Oh, please.
So
that's what you get fined over?
Yep. So he just got fined for not the second ejection the other night, but for his first ejection over the weekend against the Marlins. He kicked dirt as he was heading back to the dugout at the ump. So the NBA, I don't know how much he's getting fined, but Todd Zalucki, who covers the Phillies for MLB.com, just tweeted out, well, 17 minutes ago, but wasn't that long ago. He said, MLB fined Gabe Kapler for kicking dirt at a couple umpires Saturday afternoon.
Those umps wouldn't last a day in the NHL. They wouldn't last a day.
No, yeah, I know you were saying that earlier.
They might not make it past the first face-off.
No.
You're going to have the fanatic chasing you on his quad.
Dude, you know what makes me nuts that no one talks about? Remember when Ryan Getzlaf got in trouble for calling the ref a homophobic slur?
What no one
talks about is that he actually threatened to murder a ref and his family.
That's terrible.
They talk about the homophobic slur, but they don't talk about the death threat, which a hot mic actually picked him up saying.
I mean, not to get too political, but I think, you know, that, you know, in the era we're in right now, I think, you know, that anytime, you know, anything homophobic or, you know, insensitive along those lines is said, I think it's more brought to the forefront. You know,
but a death threat against the ref?
I'm again not justifying, you know, or labeling which one, or you know, putting in order of which is worse or not. But I'm just saying, I think that the media took hold of that more because there's more of a story versus just, you know, a death threat. Obviously, that's horrible. You know,
right,
terrible.
Both are bad. We don't condone either. So don't go on and do either of those. Don't threaten the umps. Don't threaten the refs.
Yeah, don't kill anyone and don't call anybody.
We got
moral, slurs, yeah. Moral of the story. That's why baseball is gonna go to robots. So there you go.
I mean, it could.
Because you can threaten a robot, although it'll turn into Terminator
2. No, but
2.
They'll get everything right. That's a whole other story, though. But I'm just saying, that's why the MLB is going to robots, because they'll get the correct calls that should be called that the umps don't call.
Yeah, so. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully it's still a long ways away, but, you know, time has a habit of creeping up on you faster than you want it to.
They're taking over the world, Nat. They're taking over the world.
Yep, they are. I've been warning you about this, Mike. Now you're taking me seriously for once.
No, I've been warning you. What are you talking about?
I've been warning you, dude. You said it wasn't a problem.
Hey, don't you yell at me in that tone of voice.
All right, we got to go back to hockey, guys. So the Selke Trophy for best defensive forward goes to Ryan O'Reilly. Dude went from a minus 23 the previous season to a plus 22, put up his best numbers this year, 77 points on the year, his most productive to date, 57% in the faceoff circle as well. What a complete turnaround that guy has.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that he won, you know, the Conn Smythe Trophy, you know, I think also was a big contributor. I mean, he had an absolutely outstanding playoff run. I mean, not even just the Stanley Cups, but just throughout the playoffs. You know, he was on point in every aspect that he did. You know, I think definitely, again, another truly deserving won by a landslide, kind of, you know. Again, you know, Ryan O'Reilly definitely, and to, you know, be able to flip from last season, I think that that's a big, you know, that that's another thing you have to look at too. You know, when someone's in a cold streak, you know, to be able to turn that switch mentally, not even just producing, but mentally, to get out of that, you know, ruck that you're in, and to have, you know, a complete turnaround season, then to go and win the, you know, have your team win the Stanley Cup, you know, win the Conn Smythe Award, and then get this award on top of it, you know, again, you know,
icing on the cake.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's icing on the cake, cherry on top.
Dude is just absolutely incredible. What a season for Ryan O'Reilly. Congrats. Congrats on winning the Selke Award. Yeah. Easily deserved, as well as the Conn Smythe Award and the Stanley Cup. Alexander Barkov won the Lady Bing with a total of 8 penalty minutes. So congrats on Barkov. He had a nice little tidbit how there were more fans of Finland than there were the Florida Panthers inside the studio where they had the NHL awards at.
Yeah.
Which is true. There were more Finnish fans there. I mean, how many Florida Panthers fans really went up to the NHL awards to see Barkov? But then again, how many people outside of Vegas were going to go to begin with?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a Vegas type thing. The Masten Trophy went to Rob Mlynar for overcoming alcoholism and bipolar disorder, and also helping the New York Islanders win their first playoff series since 2016.
That's awesome. I did not know that about him. That's awesome.
Good, yeah, you know, again, you know, another great backstory too. You know, anytime, you know, you have, everyone goes through trials and tribulations, but, you know, to be in an atmosphere, not to say that, you know, taken away from any other job out there, saying that, you know, it's more tough when you're, you know, a professional athlete. It's every, you know, anytime you have to fight anything like that, it's tough. But, you know, on the road traveling, there's so many more temptations, you know, and to be able to overcome that and to not have your life totally ruined, you know, congratulations to him. That's awesome. You know, best of luck to him in his sobriety. That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he walked away with the quote of the night. He said, "I'm not ashamed to say I'm mentally ill, but that does not mean I'm mentally weak."
No, exactly. You know, and you know, yeah, to be able to fight through that, and, you know, every day, it's, you know, it's not something that you just automatically change and it's done and over with. You know, it's not like a cold where you take medication and it goes away. This is something that he'll fight for the rest of his life. But, you know, just, you know, like anything else, you know, with the strong mindset, a good, you know, group around him, you know, again, you know, more props to the man who to be able to, you know, win this award and, you know, continue on this road to sobriety.
And him and Thomas Greiss won the Williams Jennings Trophy for fewest goals against. The two of them had almost nearly identical goaltending numbers and only allowed a combined 196 goals throughout the entire season. So congrats on the two of them. So Rob Mlynar walked away with the quote of the night. Other awards we have the Ted Lindsay Award, voted by the NHLPA, went to Nikita Kucherov, obviously, for his strong performance. GM of the Year, Don Sweeney, for turning the Boston Bruins around. The King Clancy Memorial Trophy went to Jason Zucker. He donated money for each goal he scored this season. Your Art Ross Trophy winner for highest scorer, Nikita Kucherov. The Maurice Rocket Richard for the top goal scorer went to Alex Ovechkin with 51 goals. How about our own Wayne Simmonds for winning the Mark Messier NHL Leadership Award for his community leadership with Ed Snyder Youth Hockey?
Yeah, Wayne Simmonds has always been, you know, and, you know, getting to meet him and, you know, work with him and talk with him, he's fantastic. This guy goes above and beyond all the time. You know, he's truly, you know, a pinnacle in the community. You know, he does above and beyond. You know, these things aren't, you know, they're expected sometimes, but he even goes above that level of what's expected. You know, he does more and more every single year.
Underrated, not only in the sense of one of the nicest dudes in the NHL, but he's also a bro too.
Yeah.
I've also met him, and there are times where he can be such a bro, but he's so cool.
Awesome guy. You know, I honestly it was sad to see him go. You know, because I feel like he was, you know, every team has that. They may not be the best player on their team. Sometimes it is. Where it's that heart of the team, where there's that just emotion, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, when they had Brian Dawkins, you know, Ray Lewis, you know, these guys that are just have that anger, that grit, that, you know, that motivation and drive in every single game, whether they're the last in last place or they're in first place, it's the same emotion every single game. It's as if they're playing for the championship game.
And you know exactly what you're getting out of Simmonds.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, there's never a time where you're going to say, wow, is this guy underperforming? Because he's not. You know, he may have a bad game, but, you know, he's always giving it 100%.
But he's like the Chase Utley of hockey, if you look at it that way. He just does everything right. He plays the game the right way.
I say he's more so the Wayne Simmonds of hockey, but... I don't think you can compare Wayne to anyone. Wayne's his own guy, you know?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from with Chase Utley, but I think, yeah, well, they're definitely different in their own respects, but I understand where you're coming from.
No, but yeah, no, I was going to say, you get what I'm saying.
All right, there is a take I want to get from you on this, Tyler, and it is the Jack Adams Award for Coach of the Year, which went to Barry Trotz.
Yeah, I don't understand where that was. You know, at the same point, you're like, okay, you took the Islanders, brought them back a little bit, gave them some life, but then you're going up against a coach that took a team who was in last place, not second to last, not third to last, not doing, last place, won the Stanley Cup. There is nothing more that a coach, an interim coach, can possibly do.
Yes.
You went last to first, bottom to top.
You did the impossible.
To sky. You did the impossible, yes.
And you won a playoff series.
I mean,
no, you won the cup?
You won the cup, yeah. You won the cup.
Well, I was going to say that the year before, too, yeah.
I mean, you know, against Trotz. I mean, he did a good thing, but, you know, how are you not – are we just blind to the fact that there's another guy who did – way more than that?
That, and he lost to the third candidate. He lost in the second round to Rob Brindamore. He got swept by Brindamore.
Yeah, again.
Then Brindamore did the more impossible task. He took a team that hadn't made it to the playoffs in 10 years and helped them make it to round three.
Missed call.
Chief got screwed. We can agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't think you got screwed when you win the cup. I think more so Brindamore got screwed, so.
Yeah, it's...
Screw Brendan Moore.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Oh, but... now you say that, Mike.
Don't give me that again.
The last one we're gonna do the Community Spotlight Award. This is the Willie O'Ree Community Hero Award. It went to a man named Rico Phillips. Rico Phillips is the founder of Flint Inner City Youth Hockey Program. He is a firefighter in Flint, Michigan, with a deep passion for hockey. He's a player and a referee. Up until he started the program, he was the only black player and referee in Flint, Michigan. He specifically took time off from being a firefighter to start his hockey program, formed his program to expose kids between the ages of 8 and 11 to the game and give them a sense of hope in a struggling city where hope is in short supply. His fire chief said, "It was something that I knew he was so passionate about," and that's the thing. Rico's one of those guys who's, when he's really passionate about something, he puts his whole heart into it. Phillips then said, "There's a sense of pride that's overwhelming. This will put our program on the map. It's so important because, you know, I can get more kids involved. This may be a catalyst to get them to come out and be a part of this. For Flint, we're under a cloud of constant negativity, whether it's our crime rate, arson rate, unfortunately, the water crisis, and now we're in recovery. There are so many little bright shining spots for Flint. This is just one big beam of light, and it come from a whole different realm. When you talk about the NHL, taking a focus on a community like Flint, it's incredible. I'm hoping they all rally around it. I know they will." And he also said he wanted to start the program out of a sense of duty for his hometown. And he looked to Willie O'Ree for inspiration. He also said, "I felt lonely at times. I did some digging around, and I found Willie was in charge of a cool thing, and I thought that'd be cool." Willie O'Ree is in charge of the Cultural Diversity Task Force in the NHL back in the 1990s. And I didn't get a chance to meet Willie O'Ree, but what he's done for the NHL, he's still around. Hopefully I'll get a chance to meet him. The dude is a true... pioneer what he's done. I've seen when the stadium series, they brought the Black History Month NHL tour bus around, which is a museum inside of a tour bus. Like, if you ever get the chance to go inside of it, it is awesome. Like what they have in there, some of the memorabilia, the documentaries they play in there. It's a great experience. So I highly recommend it to anyone who's even considering doing it or is even somewhat curious about hockey at all. It's an experience I'll never forget.
Yeah, and I mean, these awards are cool, too, because it shows, you know, it shows the people in the community. And I think, you know, all sports start as youth, you know. And I think, you know, hockey, you know, it's factually, there's not many African-Americans in hockey. And, you know, for multiple reasons, you know, again, it's, you know, whatever those reasons are, I'm not going to sit here and state them all, but, you know, the fact that you can go into these cities, and, you know, hockey is a very expensive sport, you know, growing up, you know, with, you know, you're constantly needing to pay for more pads, pay for ice time, pay for, you know, private coaching, whatever it is, you know, hockey is a very expensive sport. And for, you know, low socioeconomic, you know, classes, you know, it's tough, you know, and you know, that's why they're predominantly play football, basketball, you know, because it's, you know, you don't need a lot, and a lot of things are provided in their sports, but to be able to reach out to these kids that, you know, may want that opportunity, they should be allowed to have that opportunity. You know, like there should not be a kid who wants to say, hey mom, hey dad, I would love to play this sport. Oh, sorry, we don't have that money.
Yeah, you can't afford it.
Yeah,
you that's know, most reason why kids don't pick up hockey. It's just too expensive. It's
a, and not even just in, you know, inner cities, you know.
Everywhere.
Outside, it's an expensive sport, you know. You know, I just bought new equipment and I, you know, dropped $600 on it. You know, it's outrageous. But, you know, but at a young age, you know, you're constantly paying for that. And, you know, but just for those kids to be able to have that opportunity, I think is amazing. And they're definitely, you know, the ones that are going to remember that and want to keep playing, they're going to benefit from that.
And Flint's a huge hockey town. They're home to the Flint Firebirds, the OHL Major Junior League team. Obviously, they're being near Detroit, home to the Detroit Red Wings, hockey town itself. So it's great that these kids are getting exposed to the game, and just more people in general are getting exposed to the game.
Definitely, yeah.
All right, guys, well, we gotta end it here. So thank you all for tuning into our first ever Facebook Live show of Thin Ice. From Mike Lewis, Tyler Barzag, and Nat Marler, thank you all for listening. We'll see you all next time on Thin Ice. Thank you for tuning in, everybody.
Take care, guys.
Later.